Morning.
Good morning.
Excited to see everybody gathered together for our worship service this morning. Welcome to Flat Springs Baptist Church. If you are a guest with us, we are also excited you are here, and we have a way of hopefully gaining a little bit of information about you. There are guest cards that are located in front of you, and if you could fill that out, if it's your first time or if you've been several times and have not, and put it in the offering plate. We then have a way of also sharing more information about ourselves and how God is at work in a tremendous way through our church and congregation. Make sure to look in your bulletin for several announcements. A lot going on right now, a lot of ministry, very fruitful opportunities before us that I'm hoping you all are excited about. I do want to make sure that you are aware to sign up for our Wednesday night meals by Tuesday, preferably. If you don't already have them signed up or have your name signed up in the atrium ahead of time, you can call it in. Just an update, this week is spaghetti this week, Wednesday night. I love seeing the fellowship hall full when we come to share a meal together and begin our evening activities and ministries. Make sure you look at the information about our wild game dinner. That's this Saturday, so I wanted to make a special note on that. Always a wonderful time. The fellowship hall is always chalked full. And it's not just really good food. It is a really good opportunity of fellowship, of outreach, and for us to spend time together just enjoying company and how God is guiding us in so many ways. Looking forward to that time together. Do we have any other announcements that didn't make their way here that are urgent and need to be made before we begin worship? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer to begin. God, thank you so much for guiding us here to this moment. God, we know that it is by your grace that you have brought us together. You have reached out to us. You have spurred us to move, to be here, to worship you together as your church. We're praying for guidance. We're praying for an openness, a clear mind and heart to understand how you are convicting us and how you are preparing us. Lord, how you are transforming us into your Son's image as he lives through us. So, Lord, we pray for that to happen this morning. And we pray it in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let's spend several moments preparing our hearts and minds for worship.
don't know if you knew the words to the song that Regina played during the meditation, but that's, "Oh, how he loves you and me." And Brother Gary's going to be sharing scripture with us about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, begging God to let that cup pass him. But he said, "But I love you and I love the people more than myself. So whatever your will is, I'll do it." Oh, how he loves you and me. Let's stand and sing 134, "Jesus Paid It All."
Thank you for bringing us here on a beautiful Sunday morning. Be with those that are sick and disabled, Lord, emotionally, physically, and heal them with your hand. Bless this offering for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. y'all a second to sit right around here so I can see everyone. Love it. Absolutely. Well, I've brought Lillian. Lillian, my daughter, you most of you know, some of her cleaning toys that she loves to use sometimes when we clean the house. I'm sure you've seen these before, right? These are easy questions to start off with. Can somebody tell me what that is? It's a broom, right? And what about this? What would you think that would be? Mop, right? And sometimes you'll need a bucket or a dustpan, right? Sometimes you might need some kind of little spray bottle to clean things with, and you need that to clean the house. And sometimes you might be asked to clean the inside of the house or clean and out the outside of the house. I wanted to ask you, have you ever helped clean before, inside or outside? Tell me what you've had to help do before. What have you helped clean? Clean the car before? All right. Good. What else?
I've helped my dad clean the car.
You've helped your dad clean the car? What else? Clean your room. All right. Good. What else? Can you think of something else you've helped clean before? Washing the dishes, absolutely. And sometimes we're asked to clean things outside, too. I mean, I remember your age growing up, and when I was asked or really told to help clean things inside or outside, I might try and help convince my parents that maybe it really didn't need cleaning after all. Maybe it was clean enough. Sometimes I probably think you have that conversation about your room. Maybe your room you think is clean enough. Well, I want to talk to you from a Christian perspective for a second, because sometimes, as Christians, we think we're doing enough, right? We think we're good enough, or we think we're doing enough things that Jesus wants us to, that we don't really need to worry about maybe some other things, right? And there are times where Jesus teaches us that things aren't like they should be, and we do need to maybe listen to him more, just like your parents will help convince you that, no, you really do need to clean what they've asked you to clean, right? So I'm going to read you a few verses in John chapter 2 where Jesus does something really strange, you might think, but it gets the people's attention, and it helps them learn that he knows what's best, and there were some things that needed to change for them to be able to follow him the way he wants us to do, okay? John chapter 2, listen to what happens. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove them out from the temple courts, both the sheep and the cattle. He scattered the coins and changed the tables and overturned the tables. And to those that sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market." His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Jesus went into a temple, kind of like a church, and there were people that were doing things they shouldn't be doing the way Jesus wants us to do things. And so he had to get their attention, and he got their attention in a very big way to teach us that Jesus knows best, and we need to make sure we listen to him each and every day, because sometimes he'll get our attention, but we don't want him to get our attention in a bad way. We want him to always be Lord of our life, be boss of our life, like Gary says, so we can make sure to follow him the right way. Okay? So let's pray about that. God, thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, teaching us how to listen to you. Lord, get our attention this week about the way we need to follow you. Amen. All right. See y'all next week.
Psalms 139, 1 through 5 says, "Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I lie down and when I get up. You know all my thoughts. You've searched my path and you know all my ways. Before I even speak, you know every word on my tongue. You have surrounded me and your hand is always guiding me." Hard to find.
Continue with our worship by standing and singing hymn number 136. 136. Let's stand as we sing, please.
Lay aside the garments that are stained. last November that God brought Jimmy Allen our way to come as our supply and lead us in a time of transition. And this morning during our business meeting, we changed that relationship with Jimmy as we called him to be our permanent part-time minister of music. And Jimmy, we are delighted for your giftedness and how you use that to the glory of God. And we are excited about you working with us into God's foreseeable future. Thank you for doing that for us. Let me invite you to open the bulletin and note some names that are there. Richard O'Quinn did have heart ablation this week. We want to continue to keep Richard. He is home. And Evelyn Luck has been in the hospital this past week. She's home, but has more doctor appointments this coming week. We want to continue to remember her. Garen Moss continues to see specialists. I'd ask that you keep Garen lifted up. I talked with my sister, Nell Knapp. I'd ask that you place her on the prayer list. Nell is having a series of tests. She's been having some chest pain, and they're trying to rule out many different things that might be causing that. So we would covet your prayers for her. And then we received word today of the death in our community of Mark Chowski, I believe is how you say that. And that is Terry Morrison's husband, an unexpected death that we want to be remembering in a very special way, that family. And then Jimmy was sharing with me that his son, Thomas Allen, is on a mission trip, and they are currently in the air on their way to Guatemala. So we want to be remembering them as they'll be gone this week and keep them lifted up. You see the other names that are here on this list, and I know there are folks that God will put on our heart. Would you join me as we pray together? Heavenly Father, we ask that question, have we been cleansed by your power, washed in your blood, changed by your spirit? And as we gather to worship, there may be someone here today who has never experienced your forgiveness, knowing that their sin separated you and them. But today they know it. And today, O Lord, your Spirit is moving. And you will take all that has been done. For as the group just sang, Lord, you know. You know us. You know our need. You know our condition. And so, Lord, we lift ourselves to you. Lord, I want to pray now as we have gathered here for our Sunday morning worship for the service that will be this Saturday night. As we will gather to share a time of fellowship, but we're reaching out to this community and we're praying, oh God, there may be someone who comes to the Wild Game Dinner this Saturday night who doesn't know you in the pardon and forgiveness of their sin. And when they leave Saturday night, they will know you in the pardon and the forgiveness of their sin. Oh God, we just ask even now that you'd bless that energy and that effort. And God, now we're going to worship you. We come as people with many burdens. And the names that we have mentioned on this prayer list are on our heart and mind. And we know that burdens are lifted at Calvary. And so, oh God, our risen Lord, we come before you and ask that you would hear these that we have mentioned. And the needs of our heart and the needs of our life. That we might indeed be making those decisions, sometimes hard decisions about difficult cups from which to drink. But none more difficult. None more difficult. Lord, none more difficult than the cup you drank for our sin. We love you. And we praise your holy name. And we make our prayer in the name of Jesus, our risen Lord. Bring me back to you. Thank you, choir. And Andrew, Oscar, Ben, Stephen, y'all need to come up with a name, guys. This is just too much to have to keep saying this. But thank you for blessing us with those powerful messages in music. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to Mark's Gospel as we continue with our thoughts of decision making and also our moving toward Easter. We find our Lord and Savior in the Garden of Gethsemane. Sometimes in life there's a difficult cup from which you must drink. I'm reminded of a story of a little boy that his dad had talked with him the night before he put him to bed, and he said, "Now, son, you know every night you wake up and you ask for a drink of water. And every night I have to get up and bring you a drink of water. Now, before you go to bed tonight, I want you to get you a drink of water. I don't want you to call me in the middle of the night. We're going to change that behavior." The little boy got him a drink of water, and he went to bed, and about 11 o'clock, as had been for so many days, the quietness of the house was disturbed with the little boy's call, "Daddy, you bring me a drink of water?" "No, son, we had that conversation. I'm not going to bring you a drink of water. We're going to sleep all night. You got some water before you went to bed. You'll be okay." A couple of moments went by, and again in the darkness, "Daddy, I'm really thirsty. Could you bring me a drink of water, please?" "No, son, we've had this conversation." "No." A few moments. "Daddy, I'm really thirsty. Could you bring me a drink of water?" "Son, I told you no. And if you say anything else, I'm going to come in there and I'm going to give you a spanking. Now you go to sleep." A little longer went by. Finally, the darkness was once more pierced. "Daddy, when you come in here to give me a spanking, would you bring me a drink of water? I'm so thirsty." Well, my guess is he got a drink of water. He drank from that cup, and I guess he didn't get a spanking. What cup do you have to drink? What difficult decision do you need to make about your walk with God, which will also affect your walk with your family and your walk in this community? I said in my prayer, and I think rightly so, there was no greater decision to drink from a cup than the one our Lord made, and that our text will teach us. It's found in Mark chapter 14. We're going to read 10 verses, 32 through 42. If you're able, let me invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's Word. "And they went to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I pray.' And he took with him Peter and James and John, and he began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, 'My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch.' And going a little further, he fell on the ground and he prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, 'Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet, not what I will, but what you will.' And he came and he found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, 'Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch with me an hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.'" Can I read that again? "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and he found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy. And they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, I understand why you prayed, "Let this cup pass from me." And I thank you. I thank you, O God, for drinking from that bitter cup. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, apparently the word is out that our pastor likes Subway. And again, I want to say a word of thanks for all the Subway gift cards you shared with me. I'll come back to that. Sometimes we're faced with making difficult decisions. You know, if you stop and think about it, it's decisions that shape us, isn't it? Think if you decided to marry someone else, or if you're not married, you decided to get married, or if you are married, you decided not to get married. How big those decisions would be. Church is full of decisions. You decided to come today, and we're glad you did. You decide to pray, God meets us in our prayers. We decide to read the Bible, and God strengthens us through His Word. Decisions. But sometimes those decisions are difficult. I'm not talking about decisions about a ball game or even about a purchase. But I'm talking about those spiritual decisions of loving the Lord our God with all our heart and all our mind and all our strength or not. And I want to suggest this morning that never, never is there a clear example than this text and the events we celebrate every year. As we start with Palm Sunday and we go through the week we call the Passion Week, we go through Good Friday, and it culminates in Easter. A decision that was struggled with by Christ, but one that was made in heaven before the foundations of the world. I think that's what John was trying to tell us when he said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and without Him was not anything created that was created. In Him was life." I think that's what John was reminding us, that the decision that Jesus now honestly struggles with in Gethsemane, as now He is 100% God, but He's 100% human. And we see a clash between those two in the Garden of Gethsemane. But the decision was made. God made the decision before the world was formed. He decided to love us. Why? I have no idea. And sometimes I think I'm the hardest thing in the world to love. And sometimes I wonder if God might say, "I wonder why I love them." I wonder when He looks down and He sees man's cruelty to man. when he sees wars and rumors of war, when he sees meanness and evil. I know this. He won't change his decision to love us. He chose to love us. And the most tremendous demonstration of that love and the greatest price tag could ever be paid for it in human history is what Jesus is struggling with in our text today. I love what Max Lucado wrote. He said, consider what God did. He gave His Son, His only Son. Would you do that? Would you offer the life of your child for someone else? I wouldn't. There are those for whom I would die. But ask me to make a list for those whom I'd be willing to kill my daughter. The sheet will be blank. I don't need a pencil. The list will have no names. But God's list contains the name of every person who ever lived. For this is the scope of His love. And this is the reason for the cross. He loves the world. Aren't you glad the verse doesn't read, for God so loved the rich, or for God so loved the famous, or for God so loved the thin? It doesn't. Nor does it state, for God so loved the Europeans or the Africans, the sober or the successful, the young or the old. How wide is God's love? Wide enough for the whole world. Are you included in the world? Then you're included in God's love. A heavenly decision. A decision you and I didn't deserve. Paul got it right in Romans 5:8 when he says, while we were yet sinners, undeserving, stained, Christ died for us. You and me. A heavenly decision. That we sang of, are you washed in the blood? Have you set aside those garments that are stained with sin? There is cleansing power in the love of God. A heavenly decision that led to the earthly dilemma that our Lord finds Himself. Jesus is struggling with the cross. And you know what? He teaches us. He teaches us that sometimes we're going to struggle. We're going to struggle hard with doing the right thing. The spiritual thing. The Christian thing. You remember the movie, The Passion? You remember how it begins? It begins with a clip from the garden. It's such a powerful opening scene. I looked at it this week. It's a hard movie for me to watch, that movie. We don't expect to see Jesus like this. His face is glistening with sweat and blood. Blood on His forehead. As if He'd been wounded. Carrying and struggling with some enormous burden. Part of that burden was Gary McCullough's sin. It was heavy on His heart in the Garden of Gethsemane. And there He prays, Abba, please, please find another way. Find another way. This is crushing me. This is hard. And you may remember in the movie, Satan, beautiful and ugly, seductive and taunting, reviling Jesus in His torment, saying, you can't carry the whole weight of the world on your shoulders. You can't die for everyone's sin. Most won't accept it. most, even though their name is recorded on your list of love, most won't record it, won't receive it, won't accept it. And then in that passion, the snake, oh, that old snake from the garden begins to slither. And as Jesus is down on his face in the movie, struggling with those prayers, Father, if this hour can pass from me, if this cup can, if I don't have to drink this cup, oh God, if there's another way, oh God. Snake slithers across our Lord's hands in that movie. He prays, not my will, but yours. Whatever you ask, I'll do. And Jesus pushes himself up from the ground, and he stands tall and steady. And he looks Satan in the eye with determination and strength. And he raises his heel in the movie. And he crushes the head of the snake. It's a powerful scene. And more powerful than the cinematography was the meaning of what the Passion teaches us. He would feel every lash. He would experience the thorns thrust upon his head. He would feel the pain as the nails would be driven into his hands, and so much more than we can imagine. If it had been easy, it wouldn't have changed Gary McCullough's sin. It wasn't easy to bend the Abba's will. And sometimes it's not easy for us to bend Abba's will. Again, the great Christian writer Lucado says, speaking of Jesus, he would rather go to hell for you than go to heaven without you. That was the earthly dilemma that Jesus struggled with. What are we struggling with as a congregation of believers? What are we struggling with as individual believers? Are we so convinced that Jesus is the answer, that he has made the way? Are we deciding today to drink from whatever cup might come before us to share that good news with the lost world? A heavenly decision was made. It was an earthly dilemma that led to an eternal destiny. Because of God's decision to love us and Jesus' decision to go to the cross, heaven is now reality. That's real good news. Because of God's decision to love us and Jesus' decision to go to the cross, the heavenly decision to love, and Jesus on that earthly decision deciding to drink from the cup, heaven is now reality. I want to tell you, every person that's in this building can come today and accept Christ as Lord and Savior and live 1,000 years from now, 1,000,000 years from now, 1,000,000,000 years from now, because of the gift of God when Jesus drank from that cup, if one would be willing to accept it. That's not good news. That's the best news. There is no greater news. You can go to CNN, MSN, NBC, CBS. They'll never have better news than the reality that Jesus has died. Your debt of sin has been paid in full, and all you have to do is to receive it. But we must decide, as Jesus did. We must decide. I saw a commercial this week for a medicine to help people with COPD. Are you familiar with that disease? Chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. It means that a person can be sitting right beside you right now in the same, this room is so full of air. You know, I've been watching and I'm so grateful I haven't seen one person gasp all day as though they couldn't breathe. Because this room is full of air. It is absolutely full of air. Every one of us can take as deep a breath as we choose to. We can breathe for an hour, for a day, and God just keeps putting more air here. But someone who has COPD can be sitting right beside us and struggle to breathe. It's not that there's a lack of air. It's that their system's not ready to receive it. Their lungs can't process it like your lungs and my lungs can. You see, this world is full of God's forgiveness. I went back and looked at Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. In that second creation story in Genesis 2, he says that God fashioned man out of the dust of the earth. And then he breathed in his nostrils. It's the Hebrew word ruah. It's the word we get spirit from. It's that part of us that lives forever. This world is full of God's forgiveness that leads to eternal life. But some of us might today be suffering from what I would call COSD. Chronic obstructive sin disease. And you can't breathe God's forgiveness. And you can't breathe God's peace. And the ruah of God doesn't penetrate our spiritual nostrils. Jesus said, "He who has an ear, let him hear." And I would remind us, those of us who have been washed in the blood, have a nostril we can breathe in God's Spirit. If you're here today and you don't know that heaven is your home, you don't know that God has forgiven your sins, I've got the best news for you. Today can be the day. Today should be. I mentioned subway cards when we got started. Remember? I read an article. 39.2% of shoppers will purchase a department store gift card for friends and family, followed by 33.4% who opt for restaurant gift cards. But according to estimates reported in the Journal of State Taxation, sounds like fun reading, doesn't it? The typical American home has an average of 300 unused or unredeemed gift cards. Now I want everybody to go home and go look through your drawers and see what you got, okay? But look at this. Listen to this last part of this little article. The cards are often misplaced, accidentally thrown out, but this is the part that intrigued me as I was reading. Are only partially redeemed. You know how it is? You get a $25 card and then you got $1.14 left on it, right? You don't want to go through that hassle of between 2005 and 2011. $41 billion, with a B, went unused on gift cards. That's why they sell them. Remember, cash is always appropriate, okay? But they know that. You'll pay them, but you won't redeem it. It'll be paid for, but it won't be redeemed. We sang, "Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Will we redeem it? Will we redeem all of God's love in our heart? All of God's power in our walking together as church, as individual believers? If you're here today and you've never accepted the gift of salvation, today's your day. And to each of us who are believers, have we redeemed all God has given us? Are we loving the Lord with all our heart and all our strength? And are we praying, not my will, thy will be done? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, your Spirit now moves in the midst of your congregation. And as surely as you breathe the breath of life into Adam's nostril and he became a living soul, we pray, O God, breathe on us. If there's one here, O Lord, one who doesn't know you in the pardon and forgiveness of their sins, then may today be their day of salvation. May today what you did in the cross, as you drank from that cup, as you made that decision, may we decide today to accept you as our Lord and as our Savior. And Lord, for all of us, may we be sure before we leave this place of worship, as we have sung praises to your name, as we have reminded ourselves of how much you loved us and what a tremendous cost it cost you, may each of us leave with a renewed spirit and a renewed desire to give you all and all of who we are. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is page 450. Page 450. I need thee every hour. This morning, if God is speaking to your heart and you need to make some decision, if you've never accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, I promise you, there's not a better day than today. There's not a better time than right now for you to do that. And may each of us, using our pew as our altar, speak to our Lord, thanking Him for how much He loved us, that He decided to drink from the cup as we stand together and sing. Remind those that are outreach leaders in your Sunday school classes and our outreach committee that we have a meeting. I guess we'll meet in the W.C. Harwood Sunday School class at 3 o'clock this afternoon to do some planning of the upcoming events that we need to be working on. So we'd ask you to remember and be a part of that. And I hope you'll remember the Wild Game Dinner, that not only by your presence and by being a part of that, but also by your prayers now, that God will be speaking even now to Randall and his heart for the message that needs to be delivered to that group that will be here in our fellowship hall this Saturday evening. And I know you will look forward to having that time together. And again, just a reminder, and I'll keep doing it occasionally, I hope you'll mark on your calendar April 17 and 18 and make sure nothing's in the way of that. You'll come be a part of that Friday evening and Saturday morning. We'll be connecting stories. I am praying and believing God is going to do some powerful things during that time together. And I would invite you to make that a high priority. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence, that we might be His people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for loving us so much that you drank from that cup and you taught us how to live and how to love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Serve the Lord.